Amen and amen. Now, we'll be singing from hymn 352, He Cuts Me. So if you happen to know this one, please feel free to sing along, because we're not singing to each other. We're singing to the Lord. Amen. Hey.
Nehemiah chapter 1. Find your place. Let's stand in honor of reading the Word of God. We'll just start and we'll just read the whole chapter. There's only 11 verses. I don't think you can read the Bible too much.
Amen.
Amen. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, as we come before you, God, in worship, Lord. And I pray that you, dear Holy Spirit of God, will speak to our hearts. Lord, may we allow you to speak. Lord, you won't speak to us unless we allow you to. Lord, you're not going to force yourself on us. And so, God, I pray that, Lord, that we'll just stop and be still for a few minutes and, God, allow you to speak to our hearts. And may we glean from the message, Lord, not what I say, but, God, what you say through the Spirit of God this afternoon. So, Lord, speak to us. Bless the reading of your word, and I'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you remember, in the last week, we learned that the Jews came back under three different leadership, and one of them, the last one we talked about, was under the leadership of Ezra. And when they came back, as we've read, that they came back, and Nehemiah asked about the well-being and how the Israelites went. The report was that the walls of Jerusalem had been destroyed, the gates had been burned, and that the fellow Jews that were there were facing persecution from all the nations around them and the people. So when Nehemiah learned this, when you look in verse 4, the Bible says he sits down and he weeps and mourns and fasts and he pours his heart out before God. And then what we have in verses 5 through 11 is his prayer. And I want us to look at his prayer for a few minutes, and I want us to see how we can apply it to our lives. It's amazing how we can apply something that happened thousands of years ago to our lives now, which lets us know that the Word of God is applicable just as much today as it was back then. And so we notice in verse 4 that Nehemiah, as I was thinking about this, you know, I don't know about you, but when you read Bible, reading this, and I got to thinking about Nehemiah's prayer, I thought, you know, Nehemiah's prayer was not some simple thought about today. It was, and when I thought about that, I thought it was when he prayed, it wasn't one of these "now I lay me down to sleep" kind of prayers. Hey, are y'all still with me? When I read that, I thought of heaven, and he has literally sought the face of God on behalf of these Jews who had returned to Judah. According to the model prayer that the Lord taught his disciples, Nehemiah, he didn't see that. New Testament wasn't around yet, and so, but he did exactly what the Lord taught his disciples to do, because Nehemiah asked, and he sought, and he knocked at the door of heaven. And by the way, when I was thinking about this, my imagination kind of goes, you know, sometimes I think we use our prayer like it's a doorbell instead of a knock. Amen? Now, the door to heaven doesn't have any doorbells on it. Amen. You know, when I mean a doorbell, it's just a little bit of effort, you know, and you can get somebody's attention. But that's not the way God says to pray. God teaches us to pray in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 8. He says, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and unto him that knocketh, it shall be opened." God doesn't say anything about some kind of easy, "now lay me down to sleep" kind of prayer. He's letting us know that, listen, that we need to spend some time asking God some things when we are in need. And all God's people can say, amen. I think we need to stop, as I put it, with all these quick, meaningless, spiritually weak prayers and do some old-fashioned asking, seeking, and knocking. Amen. Kind of prayer. Nehemiah, he did just this, and he became an intercessor. He began to seek the Lord on behalf of the people of Israel. And when you read the book of Nehemiah, you'll find that there are 12 prayers recorded in the book of Nehemiah. 9 of them were offered by Nehemiah himself. And so when we read these verses, we read of the first prayer recorded in the book of Nehemiah, and it was a prayer from Nehemiah on behalf of his people. And when he begins to pray, the first thing I want you to see is that he acknowledged God. And you know, I think a good question would be, when we pray, do we acknowledge God when we start praying? You know what I mean? Look at verse 5. He acknowledged God by praising God for who He is and what He has done. He acknowledges God as the Lord God of heaven. And you look there, the name Lord is in all caps. And when you see that, that means Jehovah. That means the self-existent, eternal God. And I am glad that Jehovah God is the God of heaven. Amen. Not a little g. I saw a new whatever they call it now, on TV. They have advertisement, and they've got a new show out called The American Gods. And I thought, how disrespectful is something like that? Listen, we only have one God, and He's the God of heaven. He's Jehovah God. And I'm thankful that He is supreme and He is sovereign over all the universe. He rules and He reigns, He controls. And listen, and He is in control of everything that goes on and on the face of this planet. So Nehemiah acknowledges God for who He is. He also addressed God as the great and terrible God in verse 5. Now this refers to the power and majesty of God. Now how can we today, with words, describe God? It'd be kind of hard. It's like somebody asking you, how did you know that your wife was, that you loved her and you wanted to marry? That's hard to explain. I just knew. Amen? I mean, I don't know anything else to say there. How do you know? Well, I just know. How did I know that God called me to preach? Well, I just know. God called me. I mean, it's hard to explain. And so the same question is, how do we describe God? Well, Nehemiah kind of gives us an idea because Nehemiah uses the word great and terrible. Great meaning that God possesses all power and all might. And then he uses a word that's been used a little bit today, and kids, I don't know if they use it much nowadays, but they'll say, man, he is bad. Do y'all still do that? When y'all describe somebody, man, that guy is bad. You follow me? In other words, he is awesome. That guy is, and that's literally what the word means. It means the word awesome. Well, Nehemiah says that God is bad. Not in the sense that he's a bad example. In other words, that he is an awesome God. Folks, I want you to know today that God that we serve is a supreme, almighty, a God who loves you and me. He is Jehovah God, and he is great and terrible. Amen. So he tells us that he's set apart. And I'm thankful. He is set apart. He is outside of everything that goes on the face of this planet. Nehemiah also addressed the Lord as the one who keeps his covenant with everybody who loves him and obey his commandments. And I thought this was pretty interesting. And when you read in verse 5, notice what it says. Nehemiah says, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them. Here it is. Here's the key. That love him and what? Observe his commandments. Now, this verse is telling us that God keeps his covenant with covenant keepers, not covenant breakers. Are y'all still here? Say amen. In other words, do what God says. Listen, God always keeps his word, and his promises are to those who choose to love him and obey him. Listen, God help us today. We live in a society where people want to live like they want to live, do what they want to do, and expect God to still bless them, and it does not work that way. God says, and Nehemiah says it, that God keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. So Nehemiah prays the Lord for his faithfulness. Number two, Nehemiah identified with the people by confessing both their sins and his own. Now that's kind of, let me go. Nehemiah became an intercessor, okay? He became an intercessor for the people and before God, and he asked God to forgive the sins of Israel and for the sins of his own family. That word intercessor, it means a prayer, petition, or entreaty in favor of another. In other words, Nehemiah is standing in the gap for the people. Now, when I began to think about that, I remembered the verse over in Ezekiel. And you can turn there. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. Now, remember, Nehemiah is, he has become an intercessor for the people before God. Listen, if you're going to be an intercessor before God on the behalf of others, you got to make sure that you're right. If you're not right and your vessel's not clean, you cannot be an intercessor on behalf of other people. And so here's Nehemiah. He becomes an intercessor. He stood in the gap for the people. This verse in Ezekiel 22:30, it says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me and for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Now watch this. God issued a strong indictment against the leaders in Jerusalem. It was their duty. It was their responsibility to set an example for the people. They were to trust God. They were to live moral and righteous and just lives, but they were anything but moral, anything but righteous, and anything but just, and trust in the Lord was the furthest thing from their mind. So God instructed Ezekiel to issue an indictment for four groups of leaders. Those leaders were the prophets, the priests, the political officials, and the false prophets. Listen, I'm telling you, that pretty much encompasses everything going on right now today. Well, let me keep going. But then God turns his attention to the people in general, and he gives a picture of a corrupt people. He gives us a picture of a corrupt people, which is the kind of people that are produced by corrupt leaders. Amen. Listen, good fruit can't come from a bad tree. Okay? And God brings four charges against the people because they followed in the evil footsteps of the leaders. Listen, the worst thing, and I just want to kind of about what's going on, the worst thing you and I can do today is to become bitter and to become extremely critical about the leadership that's in our country today. Listen, I do not agree with what's going on. But I'm here to let us know that the best thing that we can do today is not to sit back and complain and criticize, and we do that, and I'm talking about me. The best thing that we can do is pray for them. Amen. That God will guard them, that God will guide them, and we'll get to that. Listen, God is in control of things regardless of who's sitting in that chair. And so God, through Ezekiel, watch, he condemns the leadership, and he brings four charges against the people, watch, because they followed in the evil footsteps. God help us to keep doing the right thing. No matter what they do, God help us to do right. No matter what they do, let's keep the Word of God and let it be the Word of God in our lives and let's follow it. God says, watch, that he searched when he brought indictments and charges against these people. God says he searched the land for a righteous person, somebody who could intercede for Jerusalem and the nation, but he didn't find anybody. There was no one who could stand in the gap between him and the people. There was no mediator. There was no intercessor who could lead the people to a saving knowledge of the Lord. There was no one who could arouse the people to repent of their wicked ways and turn back to God. No one who could stir up the people to live righteously and obey the commandments of God. Listen, the great need of our day is that God could find some people, some leadership, to do the right thing and lead people to repentance. Amen. Listen, God help us. Listen, I don't want to be a part of the problem. I want to be a part of the solution. And part of that solution is Nehemiah, a good example. Listen, he got on his knees and began to pray and ask God for something special. And you and I need to do the same thing. We need to stand in the gap for the people of this country. Listen, not only for one another, but for our country as well. This country needs some people that will spend some time on their knees asking God to help the people in leadership. Amen. So Nehemiah identified with the people, confessed both their sins and his. Number three, Nehemiah pleaded for God's mercy and pleaded for God's help in verses 8 through 11. And Nehemiah asked God to remember His word. He says, God, remember your covenant that you made with your people. Look, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I'm just going to read it, and so you stay with me, okay? Because we're talking about Nehemiah, how he pled for God's mercy and His help. And Deuteronomy is part of that covenant. It says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you. Huh, that'll be good for nowadays, amen. Neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor for all the men that followed. Baal-peor, the Lord thy God, hath destroyed them from among you. Listen, have we not seen some of the blessings in the hand of God move in Central Park Baptist Church? Don't we know what God can do? Amen. Listen, it says, But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I've taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, and this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For that nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only ye heard a voice. And ye declared unto you, and he declared unto you his covenant. And he commanded you to perform even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. Listen, in other words, God said, here, you heard the voice of God, and just in case you didn't hear it, I wrote it down for you so you could follow it. But God still wrote it down for us so that we can follow it, and we've got it in our hands today, and we know what God can do. And we're here today, and we need a people, a church today, that can be a lighthouse in the society in which we live. Amen. But they didn't do it. Look in verse 25. It says, when thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. Listen, this covenant concerns sin and judgment. And I understand that this covenant is between God and the Jews. I understand that. But listen, it stands true for you and me today as His children through Jesus Christ. Listen, if the people sinned, they were going to suffer. It's the same for me and you today. If we're disobedient to God, we have a Heavenly Father that loves us, and He chastened us 3 times, the Bible says. Why? Because He loves us. I never chastened my children because I was mad at them or because I didn't like them. I chastened them and I disciplined them because I love them and I don't want them to make that mistake anymore. And listen, if we come to the place as children of God where we no longer feel the discipline of God in our lives, we need to check and see if we belong to Him. And here it is that God is trying to let them know that, listen, if you just do the right thing, and Nehemiah is pleading for God's mercy and for God's help, that if the people, he said, it will be obedient, that they'd be delivered from their distress and their trouble. And so Nehemiah begs God to hear his prayer and the prayers of the servants, and so that God would help them in the situation they're in. And folks, I'm here to let you know that we're in a situation here. Listen, a spiritual situation. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against darkness and wickedness in high places. And there needs to be a stronghold today for this country, for people to come to. I'm thankful in a lot of ways that when people say, when they come, like this young man, I asked him, I said, his name's Clark Fisher. I said, Clark, how'd you find us? He said, I was looking for a King James Bible church. And folks, and just like most people will say, said they are hard to find in this area. Listen, how sad that is, but thank God there's at least one. Listen, so God help us to at least stand for what's right. And so people today will know there's at least one church that stands for what's right and will not compromise. So Nehemiah prays and he does his best to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And there needs to be some people like that today. And it's my heart's desire for we here at Central Park Baptist Church that we will stand in the gap for the... Listen, our city needs help. There's a lot of people today within a stone's throw of this church that despise the things of God. So Nehemiah, he comes and he begins to pray and he begins to ask God and plead on their behalf and he begins to pray, but he gets serious about prayer. Listen, folks, can I encourage you today that when we pray, let's be serious about our prayer. No, really, let's be serious about our prayer. When we pray, let's mean business. Listen, if I have something wrong, or if you have, you don't want me to just mess around praying if you need somebody to pray for you. I mean, you want to get a hold of somebody that can get a hold of God. You want somebody that can intercede on your behalf. That Lynn would listen, I'm telling you, if it's serious for you, it ought to be serious for me when I intercede on your behalf. I'm not going to go to somebody that say, listen, I have a special need. Would you pray for me, and say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I should die before I wake. Pray the Lord my soul to take. What's that? That didn't mean anything. That didn't get as high as a ceiling. Listen, if I have a special need and I come and I say, listen, I need you to pray for me. Listen, you know what? I need you to pray for me. I want you to be serious. I want you to spend some time on your knees before God. Well, that's exactly what Nehemiah is doing. Nehemiah asked the Lord to make an opportunity for him to approach the king. Now, you remember, he couldn't go to the king unless he was invited. And if he went, it meant death or the possibility of death. If the king didn't want to see him, I mean, he could have him killed right then. I didn't ask you to come up here. So he prays and he asks God. Now, if you look in Nehemiah, look in verse 1. We'll kind of get an idea of when he went. It says that, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year as I was in Shushan in the palace. That Chislu is the 9th month. Okay? Now look in chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan. So Nehemiah, he's telling us that when he found out about the situation that the Jews were in, it was the 9th month. And when he began to, it was at that point he started to pray. And it wasn't until the 1st month, which is about 3 months later, did he got an answer. Listen, he was praying and he said, oh, yeah, I forgot to pray today. I need to ask God for something special on behalf of the people down there in Jerusalem. They're really having a hard time. I don't think so. I mean, look back at in verse 4. It says, it came to pass when I heard these words. He said, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted 3 months. 3 months he prayed and fasted. I mean, he stayed with it. You know, have you ever noticed a child when they go to the supermarket? Listen, they are persistent. Our kids are persistent. My grandkids are persistent. When they want something, I'm telling you, guess what? They want it till they get it or till we get after them. I can hear my mom and dad, when we used to go to the grocery store, they said, okay, now listen, we're going to go in here. We're going to get this and this and this. Don't ask for anything. I mean, there was five of us kids. And when we went to the grocery store, Mom had a list, and we were going by the list. And if we asked for anything, but we would get, you know, the supermarkets are strategic in their placement of stuff at the checkout stand. That's where all the candy's at. That's where all the Cokes are at. Because they know that if you get up there, And if you're trying to do your best not to buy that stuff, they got one more shot at you before you get out. And that's where the kids come in. Daddy, can I get one of them? You know, and they already have their hand on it. Can I have one of these? No, I told you before we came in, you can't ask. Yeah, but can I, what about one of these? Can I get one of these? Can I just have one of them? Look, they're 2 for $1. You know, look, this is only 25 cents. Look, this, can I get this? Can I have this? And you know, guess what? They don't ask you just one time. They don't just come in and just, oh, no. You know why? Because they want it. They're persistent. And finally we say, okay, you can have one. Don't ask me for anything else rest of the day. Amen. Here's Nehemiah. Listen, you know, when we need something from God, I'm here to let you know, when I've had those prayer times, I was consistent about it. I didn't just go to the Lord at that morning and forget about the rest of the day. I was there all day. The Bible says I can come boldly before the throne of grace. That's exactly what I did. I was up there and I said, God, I need some help. God, I need something. Lord, remember, I was here about 30 minutes ago. I'm back. Lord, I'm here. God, I need some help. This is really troubling. I need some wisdom on what to do. God, I need you to show me. Give me some direction, Lord. Listen, and God says, okay. Now, wait a minute. We may have to stay there 3 months. You know, if it's important, listen, if it's important enough for us to ask God something, it ought to be important enough for us to stay and keep asking Him until He gives us an answer. Nehemiah, he's prayed about 3 months, consistent daily prayer. You know what he's doing? He's not ringing a doorbell. Man, I mean, he's knocking. You ever had somebody come to your door and just keep knocking? Man, I have. And you know, sometimes it's kind of makes us perturbed. You know, I mean, we've been out knocking doors before, and I don't knock much. It's just, you know, I try not to be annoying. You know, and I knock on the door. I usually knock twice. And sometimes somebody opens the door and says, what do you want? Oh, well, you know, nothing really. Listen, God says, you remember the verse? Ask. Seek. And knock. And if we knock, it shall be open. Listen, God help us to have some consistent daily prayer. And for Nehemiah, now the door has been opened for him to approach the king. And now, at this point, you see, after he spent 3 months of prayer time, he asked God to give him a success in his in what he's about to talk to the king about. Now, at this point, he just comes and he asks God, he's just reminding the Lord one more time on his way to the king. He said, God, now I need some help here. I need some success. God has opened the door of opportunity for him. And King Artaxerxes, he needed to be stirred by God watch to grant this special request that Nehemiah was going to make. And you know, when I thought about that, folks, listen, God, in order to help Nehemiah, God had to stir the heart of the king. Folks, listen, in order, if we need some help today in our country, then we need to ask God to stir the heart of the president. Listen, God can do anything. He can do anything but fail. And God teaches us that we need to pray for the dignitaries and for the leadership of our country. Listen, and if God can put Daniel in his place and put Nehemiah in the place where he can, listen, where he can have influence over the king. He was a cupbearer. He was in a role of importance, and he had the ear of the king. And now God has given him an opportunity to go before the king and ask something special of his people. Do we need to be reminded of the position of influence that we hold? Listen, we are children of the king. Listen, he owns everything, and he made everything, and he turns the head of those in the hands of those in leadership. And we are in a place of influence. But I think we have forgotten who we are. Listen, we are children of the king. Saved, born again, children of Almighty God. And we need to remember our place of prominence and influence and realize that we can come boldly before the throne of grace and we can ask God for something special. Listen, God can do anything. And he's looking for a people that will just ask and pray and seek God. But now, not only for our country, but for our church.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we've been praying and asking God for at least one new family a month. Are you still praying? I'm talking about consistent, daily prayer. Boy, I do. And I don't pray for one family a month. I pray for at least one family a month. You follow me? If you pray for one family a month, then you're putting God in a box. I don't want to do that. God is, listen, he is limited. There's a lot of people out here that need the Lord, you have to know
this.
Amen. So I'm asking God to help us reach at least one new, at least one new family in life. Oh, we won't get the three in life.
There's
a lot of people in here that are lost.
Right.
And you know, that, by the way, that's the way God asks us to build a church, reaching lost people. Listen, it's okay when folks come, and I'm thankful. But listen, there's a lot of people that are lost and on their road to hell that need to know about Jesus Christ. And we all know one. I can think of one, at least one right now. Listen, that's where we need to be. We need to be as Nehemiah. We need to stand in the gap for other people, and we need to seek out God and ask him. Listen, on the behalf of lost people and people that need to find Central Park Baptist Church, ask God to help them find this place. And when they come here, they need to realize who that they meet. Not us, but they're meeting with the Spirit of Almighty God here in this place. Listen, if you're saved, then God help us to purpose in our hearts to stay on our knees before God and ask something specific and special. You think Nehemiah went up there and he said, hey, you know, King Artaxerxes, I just need a few things, and if you can give them to me. No, listen, he's been praying for 3 months. I guarantee you, he had a list. Listen, when your kids wanted something for Christmas, did they just come up there and say, "Ah, whatever you want to give me is fine"? Oh no, not my kids. You know, back in the day when they had the catalog, they had them things marked up. You know, when I was a kid, I went through there and I had them circled and named. My granddaughter, when it came to her birthday, she had a whole list of stuff. I mean, a sheet of paper, and she listed them out. And not only did she give us one, she gave one to her friends. Listen, that we ought to learn some stuff from that, that we serve a God who loves us and wants to give us all things according to his perfect will. So God help us. Listen, Nehemiah, we're going to learn this next week, he was specific about what he prayed and asked God for. And when you keep reading this, you'll find that he had, when he went and left the courts of the king, he had everything he needed. And he had it all in writing. You know what? We have everything we need. And it's all in writing.
Amen.
Look back and say, look what we did, but so that we can bring honor and glory to Almighty God and say, thank you, Lord, for what you did through us. Father, help